It's always a schus to be together, to learn together, to grow together, to prepare for Shabbos Kodesh together. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. First Shabbos of Adar, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbe Besimcha. We'll talk about that in a moment. A little bit. Really a lot. Everything we talk about is really only Simcha. It's just different ways to get there. Schus to have the chassan back, Charlie. It's going well. What else is he going to say? What else is he going to say? It should only get better. Continues. Big simcha, big bracha. Baz Hashem. All right, Chevra, before we begin, just all the Torah tonight, all the chizik tonight, all the soyers tonight, all the brachas tonight is being sponsored by, anonymously, but for a fush lema, for someone that we should all have in mind and all need a daven for, a young girl, Esther Tehila Bas Ariel Tipora, is 8 years old, needs bigger fuss, and we should be all davening for her. Take her name, Esther Tehila Bas Ariel Tipora, someone very close to this family that's sponsoring, who is a family that I'm super close to, and happens to be, also this young girl is the daughter of an old friend of my wife. And Amir Tashem, we're going to hear B'sur Tovos and Refuos and Yeshuos, and we're going to dive and we're going to learn L'schus Refu Shleim Ester Tila Bas Ariel Tipora and L'schus the Simch of Adar and L'schus of the Torah Zoichet Refuos Yeshuos B'soch Shachar El Yisro.
Amen.
The Hilig Avdei Nezer, he used to tell over the following story. He used to tell this story on the day of Purim. When I saw it, I was thinking I should save it for Purim. But over the years, I've realized it's never a good idea to save any Torah for Purim, because whatever comes out on Purim comes out of Purim. If you save it for Purim, somehow it just never comes out on Purim, and then... So we're going to use it for Achana for Purim. Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. And when there's two Adars, it's beautiful. You have so much more time to do Achana. Some people... You feel, oh, Mishnichna, it's only Adar Rishon, it's so long till Purim. If it was a regular year, it'd be at Purim in 2 weeks. The Derech, we have to look at it, it's just more time to be Meichin, more time to prepare. And if everything goes according to the Achan, if there's more time to prepare, it's going to be the most Heilig of Purims. It's going to be a Purim that's going to bring the ultimate Gula Mirtashem, not just the Akati Abdi Achashverishon, not this a partial Gula Mirtashem. We have 2 months of Simcha, 2 months of Simcha. So Avdei Nezer used to tell over the following story. He said of a simple Jew from Krakow that every single day of Adar would drink wine and get drunk. Every day of Adar. That doesn't say in the story that I read, but it could be in Adar when you have two Adars and both Adars. Every single day would drink wine and get drunk. It's not a story I tell to my high school Talmidim, because, you know, that's what they'll walk away with. Stop there. There's no other messages, you know? So they asked him once, you know, why such a minog? What are you doing? And again, it wasn't like he was some drunkard the rest of the year. Adar. So he explained as follows. He says he had a question on Haman. Haman wanted to wipe us out. Haman wanted to wipe out the Jewish nation, to kill every single Jew, like Hitler, right? And there was a decree, La Rog, La Beid, to destroy us. His question was, he was going to do it really all in one day? Didn't he realize that wasn't going to be possible? I mean, even if such a din, and even if he got all the Umas Olam on it, and he's going to... There are going to be Jews that are going to hide and go in places, and... It's going to take longer than a day. Hitler tried to wipe us out, Baruch Hashem. Unfortunately, it was a lot of korbanos, and we know, but ultimately for years, and Baruch Hashem, we're still here. In a day? Like, what was he thinking? What was the mindset even? So he said, it must be as follows. He assumed the following answer. As much as Haman wanted to wipe us out, and as much as he had a decree to wipe us out, and Achashverosh was on his side, and he was had everything ready, he knew through history and through what the Jewish nation stood for that there was a possibility that v'nahapachu, it's going to be flipped around. And even though he believed, obviously, in the decree and hoped he was going to destroy us, he knew that was a possibility. And he knew also if it was flipped around and if he's not successful, it's going to turn into a Zman of Simcha. So if he would say, okay, we're going to wipe out the whole Jewish nation in a whole month, like it would normally maybe take, even if everyone is in on it, then what's going to be Ben Apachu? The Jews are going to have a whole month of Simcha, a whole month of Yontav, a whole month of Purim. So he said, I don't want that to happen. So I'm willing to try to wipe them out only in one day. So at least if in a hapachu, they only have one day per. This is what this yid said. It's an interesting mindset. So then this Jew looks and he says, after giving that answer, but I know that even though Haman tried to keep it that way, not only therefore seemingly was he not successful in wiping us out, he wasn't successful in keeping Purim to one day. And we're meant to be b'simcha every single day of Adar. And therefore we drink every day. I'm not saying this that we should drink every day of Adar, and definitely not to drink the way he did, to get drunk every day of Adar, and definitely not when you have an Iber Shana and two Adars. But that being said, the simcha, the marbim b'simcha, the increased simcha we should have, that a yid should always be b'simcha, every single one of us, and even more so during these days, to walk around with a smile on our face, to walk around realizing Hashem is by my side, Hashem is taking care of me. To have enhanced, increased simcha during these days, and only to build on it afterwards. Halavai, we should always be b'simcha. And it's true, Hashem gives us curveballs, and He gives nisyonos, and He gives challenges to us, to our nation. That doesn't mean we can't always be b'simcha. B'simchas, halavai, there are times when we're dancing by simchas, and we're by a chasna, and by a l'chaim, and good things are happening. But simcha is also just a feeling of being content and understanding that Hashem runs the world, Hashem's orchestrating it all, and I'm okay, and I'm never in despair, and I'm never destroyed, and I'm never depressed. And halavai, we should always be that way, knowing Hashem is by my side. You know, the end of Purim is Kimu Mashikib L'Kfar. The Jews reaccepted the Torah, and many of Mepharshim bring down that that itself is the key to our simcha. It's the Torah, ki lekach tov nasati lechem Torah siyatazovu. The greatest simcha in the world is Torah. So no better time to increase our limud Torah, to bring that simcha into our lives. So let's learn, chaver. Let's learn. So you know, you open up this week's parasha. Parasha's Truma. Good. It's good to have Beis Mishkan and Beis Hamikdash in our minds. You know, these parshas, Truma, Tetzaveh, Beyakel, Pekudei, these parshios are parshios of Mishkan, of the Kalim of the Mishkan, the Big Day Kahuna. And I believe they're here to inspire us to yearn a little more so for Beis Hamikdash. The parsha begins, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Dabra B'nei Yisrael, V'yikchu li Truma. All Mepharshim ask. V'yikchu li Truma. These are the Trumas, the Nedavos, the donations, the gold, the silver, the copper, the oils, the linens, the skins, the wood, everything that was going to be utilized in the Mishkan, to build the Mishkan, to create the Big Dekuna. So it shouldn't say v'yikchu li truma. What should it say? All the Mepharshim ask this. I'm sure you've seen it somewhere before. V'yidnu li truma. V'yikchu is lashon kicha, is taking. What do you mean taking? I want Bnei Yisrael to give to me truma, to give to me donations, to give donations to Mishkan, to build a bias for the Eibishter, where his Shechina is going to rest. Why is it a lashon v'yikchu li? And why even li at all? V'yidnu truma. They should give truma, is what it should say. Instead it says v'yikhu instead of v'yitnu. And what's li? Obviously li. Meaning, why does it have to say li? What's that li ed? V'yitnu truma. They should give truma. So I saw this year from the Heilige Tashi Rebbe. Such gevaldik Torah. It's Torah that on some level is so pashit, but sometimes the most pashit Torah is the deepest Torah. You know, have you found that, Chevre? You know, sometimes you get a very complicated, whether it's in Lamdus, whether it's Chassidus, in whatever area, it's very complicated. And even if you chap it, it's like, okay. And then you see a Pashit, a Rashi, that maybe you haven't seen before, and just gives Pashit Pshat, Pashit a Rashi. And it's not that on the surface, it's like, when I say it's not that deep, it's easily understandable and it makes sense. But when you stop and you delve into it, and when I say delve into it, just with your heart and with your neshama and with your mind, and you really just, you live that Torah, it's like, it's the deepest Torah. Sometimes the most simple Torahs are the deepest Torahs and the most important Torahs. And sometimes we glance over those because they're a little bit easier and we don't embody them. And those are the ones that we're supposed to be embodying. That's the Torah itself. Every word, every sentence is like the deepest Chachma in the world. It's Ein Sof. You could study all the other Chachmas in the world. They're all man-made. There's something to them. Chachma B'gayim Tamin. But Ein Odoma, the Chachma Shal Torah. You know, Rabbi Yehuda Balzam, the Chevra, most of the Chevra here knows. I don't know if all the Chevra knows, but Yehuda Balzam was a Rebbe with me, a close friend of mine. He likes to always say in DRS, you have all these different classes, you know, and you have Echvesis, you have AP Physics and AP Calc, and well, that seemingly are difficult classes. He's like, Gemara is like the hardest AP that there is. To really be able to just open up and read a Gemara and really chap a Gemara and Pasha Pshat, I'm not talking about Lamdas of Rav Chaim. I'm talking about just open up a Daf Gemara and be able to really chap every word and really understand the Shakta Vatarya and really understand what's going on. It's more difficult than any other Chachma because it's Chachma Elokis. It's Ein Sof. It's the deepest Chachma in the world. And all the physics and chemistry and everything else is found in the Gemara. You just have to know how to look for it also. You think it's not all in Torah? There's nothing that's not in the Torah. You start learning Torah, you learn Gemara Sukkah, and you see pi, and you see, Mamish, everything is here. Everything. Pythagorean theorem is there also. Everything's there. It's all there. But so the Umas Olam, they found it years later. And we don't always see it. Yeah, it's very, very deep, but the Torah is so deep, so beautiful. So let's learn. What's Pshat? V'yikhuli Truma. Eitan, you hear? What's V'yikhuli Truma? It should be V'yidnu Truma. Give me Truma, not take Truma. You're not taking, you're giving. So there's a Mishnah in Perkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Ches. Sometimes in some texts, Mishnah Zayin, Perkei Avos, I'm sure you've all found this. It depends on that exact, you know, sefer, how it's compiled. Rabbi Lazar Ish Bartosa Omer. Rabbi Lazar from Bartosa said, Tain lo, Mishelo. Give to Hashem, give to him from that which is his. She'atah v'shelcha, because you, v'shelcha, and all that you have, shelo, is really his. Meaning, what's Rabbi Lazar telling us in this Mishnah? Everything's really the Rabbi Shalom's. Meaning, who created you? Eibishter. And who gave you everything that you have? Eibishter. L'Hashem ha'artum lo'a. That's what, right, I have this delicious cup of iced tea that my Heligesh is Chayil. We don't give enough Akar Satov to my Yesh is Chayil here. You know, every single Thursday night we get together, we learn, you know, at like 1 o'clock in the morning we're tansing, and that she's like our room is right on top of here. It happens to be, like my kids, this is, if you most of the Chevra probably wasn't upstairs in my house, but you one time you should just check it out to see, like, my room is directly on top of this. My wife is like, her bed would be like right there, basically. Yeah, on top of like Chaim over there. Like, that's like right there. So, it's not like, is that an awkward thing? Like, I'm just telling placement. So, Lemaisa, and that we have this, and we have Shir, and that we sing, and we dance, and it's not normal.
And then we're quiet.
It's not normal. Then you have to be quiet, obviously. But Lemaisa. Lemaisa. So she made this iced tea, this homemade delicious iced tea, and week after week, you saw Uri Zatzadik brings it and pours it. And Benji poured it this week. No, everyone's tzaddikim. Amekulam tzaddikim. Benji also. Okay, so that's how it got here. But ultimately, when I took my first sip, I had to make a bracha. Why? Lashem Artz Maloa. My wife might have made it, and she was a shliach, and she was awesome and beautiful, and I owe my life to her. And you saw Uri and Benji might have poured it, but ultimately, this came from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The waters from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the tea itself, the essence, the tomato tea, whatever it is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all, and even if not, even if, I mean, yes, he made it all. And even if I had to go to the store and bring it here, ultimately he allowed me to have it here. It's all from him. And therefore we make a bracha to thank him on some level, lefi the Gemara and bracha, to ask him permission. If not, it's kilu me'ila. It's like I'm using that which is the Rabbanu Shalom's. And that's what Rabbi Elazar is saying. Tain lo mishalo, shatavish l'chashalo. Whenever, give to Hashem from that which is his. Because everything that you have is from the Rabbanu Shalom. V'chein b'David Omer, and he says also in Divrei Yamim, David Melech says, ki mimcha hakol. From you, Hashem, is everything. U'miyadcha nesano lach. It's from your own hand that we're giving to you. This is the Mishnah Navos. Comes a Tashi Rabbi, so he explains so beautifully based on this Mishnah. This Mishnah is so important. The word nosein, to give. The word nosein, to give, by definition means, and is only applicable, is only shayich, if you're giving something that is yours. If you're giving something that is yours. If you're giving someone something that's his, you're not giving to him, right? I mean, Lamashal, you go and, you're going to an Islander game. Going to an Islander game. And you know, the minhag by the hockey games is to wear a jersey. Hockey more than any other sport. That's just how it is, right? No, meaning you could go to a basketball game. You don't go in a Knicks jersey. Well, I don't know why you'd want to wear a Knicks. I'm a Knicks fan, but Hashem Yerachim. So, but Lemaisa, even if they were good, you don't see too many Knicks jerseys. I mean, some hardcore fans, some little kids. It's not like all out throughout the stadium you're wearing Knicks jerseys. It's just not the minhag, right? When it comes to baseball, you go to a Yankee, okay, so maybe a little bit more than basketball, but it's not like everybody's wearing a Yankee jersey. Okay, maybe playoff time you see a lot more, but till then, you go to a hockey game, you feel a little bit like undressed if you're not wearing a hockey jersey. It's like part of the minhag, you got to wear the jersey. I don't know what pshat is, I'm just saying how it is. I'm not even giving pshat, it's just how it is. So you go, and you're going to an Islander game, and Lemaisa, you don't have the jersey, so you go to your friend, and you say, Nu, you have a Barzell jersey for me, and he's got it. He's got a Barzell jersey. Exciting. So you put on the Barzell jersey and you go. And then after the game's over, the next day you go and give it back to him. Is that giving it to him? Are you giving him a jersey? You're not giving him anything. It was his the whole time. You're not giving him anything. And I'll tell you, my wife, Mahalik Yeshus Chayil, she once, this is Mamish. My wife once lent someone a book. She lent someone a book. Whatever it was, a book. It was, I think it was on the Holocaust something. But like a novel on the Holocaust. And to borrow. And of course she forgot about it and for a long time never got it back. And Kachave, that's how it goes with books, the Svarim, right? There's so many books in Svarim that I lent out and that I'd like them back, but I'm Michael. I don't want anyone to like be paid back up at Shemayim because of it, but like, I should start naming all the books, but okay, it is what it is. Maybe no, because maybe someone will listen, will realize they have the book. So if any of you out there has any of my Svarim, please bring them back. It would be nice. But it is what it is. Lemaisa. I was the other night by a chasen, by Binyamin Potashnik, who was a member of the Shir for a long time in Muncie. And in Muncie, they have, similar to the Svarim store here, Svarim forwarders. They have capital Svarim. I think it's the same team. Lemaisa, so after the chuppah, you know, you have like a 45-minute break, which we need to take care of those things. Like weddings... weddings are beautiful. Weddings are incredible. And Baruch Shem, I have this chus as a Rebbe to go to many. I went to Sunday night, a beautiful wedding, Yitzchok Geinis and Jerry Brody and Hadassah, and it was beautiful. And Binyamin and Zahava's chas on Monday night. It's a big chus I have. I love it. And to be under a chuppah with my Talmidim, it's like, mom, it's beautiful. But they're just way too long. And now, halavai, if you have tons of Leibedik dancing, so that should be long. But no, Charlie, no, you're like, but there's too much dead time that needs to be cut out. Like, the chasen tish doesn't have to last that long. If it's really that labidic, no, but most of the time it's like 45 minutes of dead time, 15 minutes of labidicness, and then you go. And then from the time of the badekin until the chuppah starts, another half hour. Like, that shouldn't be more than 5-10 minutes. And then after the chuppah until the first dance is like a set 45 minutes or an hour. Like, and then you need a few minutes. Then from that point on, it pretty much runs, because then you could leave when you want to leave already at that point. But Lemaisa, we got to take care of this. It's a problem. No, it's really a problem. It's Bittel Zman. It's too much Bittel Zman. Like, what are we doing? Where was I going? What are we talking about?
Svarim.
Oh, so during, after the chuppah, I do add a while. So I go to downstairs, like around the corner, there was this Capital Svarim with all these used books. I'm looking for all the Svarim that I've lent out and not getting back, part of sets, you know, trying to find. I found some good stuff over the years, but
you're
okay.
So rich.
Right, my own Svarim that people gave to Sheamus. Anyways, back to the story. That would be great. That should, oh, we should dub it. We should dub it. How many of my Svarim do you have, Moshe Dubin? Let me be real. We're not going to start. We're not going to start. Stop. Stop.
I never read a single Sefer that you gave me.
I didn't say you read them. I said, how many do you have? Lamaisa. Okay, getting back. So my wife lent, listen, true story. My wife lent a book to somebody. And for a while they had the book. And my wife totally forgot about the book. Maybe a year later, this person comes and comes over to her house and goes to my wife and says, I brought you a present. I read this book and it was so good I thought you'd love it. And she gives my wife the book that she lent her. She totally, this woman totally forgot that she got the book from my wife. It didn't have her name in it or anything. And they borrowed it from my wife. And she had this book and she gifts it to my wife as a present. Like, here, take the book. I think you'd love it. It was my wife's book. You can't make this stuff up, but it's a true story. Lamaisa, so that is that a vayitnu? Did she really give my wife anything? She gave my wife nothing. There's no vayitnu. So too, to come to Tasha Rebbe based on this Mishnah and based on life, if we really understand, and even this understanding itself is the biggest lesson we could talk about tonight, that everything we have is from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Everything. The shirts we're wearing right now, our mamish, obviously our health and the ability to speak and to see and all of that, but I mean all of our physical possessions, the car that we drove here, those who drove a Chvestish, whether you drove a Honda or whether you drove a Lexus, it's all from the Eibishter. It doesn't matter. It's all from the Eibishter. So is there such a concept of giving to Hashem? There can't be giving to Hashem. There is no giving to Hashem, because giving by definition means it's only, it had to be yours. So it can't be v'yidnu li truma, give me. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us? I gave you gold. That gold's really mine. That gold's mine. I'm giving it to you to borrow. I'm giving it to you to enjoy, whatever it might be. V'yikuli. Why v'yikuli? Because I want you to present it back to me, and therefore you're getting through that, finally, the biggest schus in the world. Meaning v'yikhu, because you're taking the schus. At that moment, you've gained it. Meaning until now, it was really like Lent in a certain sense. It was really, you're just holding onto my item. The moment you do something that is presenting me with it, which is a mitzvah, which is something that's going to bring me in achas ruach, you now gained a schus. For the first time, you gained something. V'yikhu, you've taken something. Until now, it wasn't even yours. It was really mine. So it's v'yikhu. You're taking something because you're gaining this chus for the first time. What an incredible Torah. What a beautiful pshat. I think pasha pshat. But if we really understood and thought about this yisod, if we really understood this yisod, twofold. There are two yisodos. First and foremost, just the yisod to recognize everything we have is from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Everything. And to be more thankful. You know what's going to happen? We'll be more thankful. We'll be happier individuals. We realize how much we have and how much we're given. And it's not up to us. And then it will push us even more so to do more for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, to realize, because that's the only way I'm really gaining possession of anything. Everything I have is only being borrowed. You know when I gain something? You know when I kach v'yikhu? It's only when I give it back to Hashem. Then I gain a zchus. Then I've done something. Until then, what is it? It's just, I'm holding on to someone else's item. V'yikhu. Big Torah. This is what we see as well in the Yerushalmi and Peah. The Yerushalmi and Peah on the Pasuk that says, Kavid es Hashem mahoincha. Honor Hashem, mahoncha, pasha pshat, one would think means with your like possessions, your things. But the Gemara says it can't mean with your things, because as we just described based on this Mishnah and the Torah of the Rebbe, you don't have any things. What's mahoncha? Mima'at mechavto, the Gemara says. From where do you honor God? Mimashicha necha. From that which He graced you. Meaning, from that which He graced you, you could respect God and give it back to Hashem. That's our avoida. Our avoida is just to give to Hashem and realize that's the only time we're taking anything. That's why it is. That's what we take with us up to Shemayim. That which are our possessions. What is the person, what possessions do you take? You're going to take your car with you up to Shemayim for your eternal life? You're going to take your Chves Nish Montclair coat that you were so excited to get so you could have a little patch over here and you feel cool? You're going to take that? That's what you're going to take up to Shemayim? That's not, you're not going anywhere with that. You're not going with your Rolex either. But you know what you're going with? Your Torah and your mitzvos and what Hashem has given you and you've given back to Him. That's what your v'yikhu, that's what your zchusim, that's where you finally have a possession. That's where you've done something and you have meaning and purpose in this world. You know, I was learning this Torah and I remembered an old story. It finally came full circle. There was a tzaddik, Rabbi Yisrael Berger. His wife, his rabbi's name was Fagi. They lived in Warsaw and Lodz. And already in the 1930s, prior to the Holocaust, but after World War I, he was back and forth from America and Europe trying to, he was very, very poor and trying to make it work and things work. And eventually they moved to the Lower East Side. The Lower East Side at the time, as you know, was known as a midbar. America was a midbar, it was a desert, void of Yiddishkeit, very little nothingness. And this couple was very, very frum. They're trying to make life work. They weren't that. They had very little money. And one of the things they were makbid on was Chalv Yisrael. Now this is not a pitch for Chalv Yisrael. I personally do not. I'm not makbid on Chalv Yisrael. I'm not trying. If you are beautiful and wonderful, that's something for each and every one to take upon themselves if you'd like to. Now I'm not going to get into that right now. But they were makbid on Chalv Yisrael. And that was very important to them. And our minhagim and our chumras and that which we take upon it are important. They hold us to a different standard. To each their own, whoever you are. Again, we have to find those places. It's important that we all have our minhagim and our chumras and our areas that we emphasize in our life. That's very important. But there was nowhere to get Chalv Yisrael milk then. You could get kosher milk, but Chalv Yisrael milk, there was no Chalv. It wasn't like today where you could go to any supermarket and get Chalv Yisrael milk. There was nothing. There was milk, but not Chalv Yisrael milk. But they wanted Chalv Yisrael milk. So what was the only way you could have Chalv Yisrael milk? The only way is if you bought a cow. And if you had your own cow, you could have Chalv Yisrael milk. But a cow was very expensive. And they didn't have money like that. So the Rebbetzin Fagi, this Rebbetzin Fagi Berger, she pawned her engagement ring, her one possession. That represented a lot also, but it was mamish very valuable. The one valuable item that she had, she pawned it in order to buy a cow so they could have Chalv Yisrael milk. She pawned her engagement ring for a cow. Now, we hopefully de-emphasize somewhat gashmis in the world, but I don't think, I think each and every one of you, and Charlie's married, he could attest, I could attest. I mean, you could marry the most beautiful Balas Midos, and I hope you all do, and someone who's not focused on materialism, but I highly doubt any of them are pawning their engagement ring for a cow. You know what I'm saying? It's just, we don't expect that. That's not normal. But she did, because to her it was that important. Imagine that someone hears a story and say, I'm going to pull shtick. What an engagement. You know, we always, it's like a big thing to think up like a cool engagement, and you want to surprise your kala, and like you got to think up some crazy plan. I'm going to go like skydiving off like some building and hold up a sign, and like, you know, like you got to do something, right? Something. You got to do something. I got it. Forget about the ring. I'm going to present a cow and see what happens. No, don't take that advice. Probably that's not going to be your kala, you know what I'm saying? Anyways. But you know where I was thinking about it? Why I was thinking about this story? And I read this story a long time ago. It makes sense now. If you focus and you recognize everything you have is really the Ribono Shel Olam's. It's not mine. And the only thing that becomes mine is when I utilize what Hashem lends me and gives me to serve Hashem. So this ring, it might be a valuable ring, and it might be something that her husband gave her. Ultimately, she realized, it's not even mine. It's not even mine. Kvayit Hashem ha'incha. Not even mine. I want to take something. I could be machmer in kashrus for the Eibishter, v'yikhu, I could finally take. So I could take this ring in order to earn something that's actually mine. So beautiful. So wonderful. And that's Lashon Li as well. What's Vayikhu Li? If you look in Parshas Toldos, when Rivka tells Yaakov to prepare to go get the brachos, so he says, she says to Yaakov, he has to go get food to bring to her, his father. Leich no el atzon v'kachli. Go please to the sheep and take for me. So why is she taking, what's this lashon of li, take for me? It's not, you're not taking it for me, you're taking it for your father. It's not for Rivka. Rivka's not going to eat this. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, li is mishali. Li here doesn't mean for me, but it says from me. And she's teaching him that they're mine, so it's not going to be gezel, don't worry. Take from me, not li is mishali. V'yik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, v'yikhu, I want you to take. And how are you going to take? How are you going to take? By me, by li, v'yikhu li, from mishali, that which is mine. Meaning, that gold that is really mishali, that silver that's mishali, that bronze that's mishali, the avnei mishom, avnei miluyim, these precious gemstones that are mishali, when you're going to present it to me, v'yikhu, then you're going to take. But it's really from me. And this is what we have to realize. Everything's from the Eibishter, and therefore our avodah is to give everything to the Eibishter. Who's the antithesis of this? Amalek. We're entering into Adar. Mishenichnas Adar Marbi Mesimcha. The Zman of Mordechai, the Zman of Esther. And the Zman Keneged Haman and Amalek. Amalek, we know famously, is Gematria 240, which is Gematria Rum. They're lofty, they're haughty. They think they run the world. And therefore what I have is mine, and it comes from me. It's the opposite of this approach. That's why Haman says, when he thinks he could defeat us, Yesham Echad Mefuzer Mefura. Most learn that as we are spread out and separated, we don't have Achdus, and therefore we're prone to be attacked. But we could also say we're Mefuzer Mefura, we're separated from Hashem. We weren't recognizing that everything is from Hashem. So that's when we're prone to be attacked, because we had Amalek Dika Seichel. So Mordechai says, Leich Kanosis Kol Yudim, bring them back together. Pashup Shad also maybe unity. But maybe you could say, bring them back together with Hashem. Bring them back together with Hashem, and we're going to be Zoicha to Geula. That we have to realize everything we have is from Hashem, everything that happens from us is from Hashem, and all we have to do in this world is give to Hashem. Adar is Aleph Dar. Aleph, the Eibishter, is living amongst us, and we have to believe that, and we have to know that. Everything's from Hashem. Everything that happens to us is from Hashem. Share with you a story that happened in Orlando. Ready, Chavra? Stories happen, you know, stories happen everywhere. You just have to open up your eyes. So two Sundays ago, we're in Orlando with the family. It was a very beautiful few days to get away, to spend time with the mishpacha. And we go to Magic Kingdom, we go to Disney World. And I happen personally, Chavra, I love Disney World. I love Disney, I'll be honest, I love Disney World. It's a lot of, it's enjoyable, it's full of just happiness in the air. Brings us back to our childhood, when things were very simple, and we were naive, and we were untainted from this crazy, disgusting world of Sheker. And when we could dream big, it's a place of dreams. And it's a beautiful time with the family, I love it. And that was the one day we took very serious. When I say took seriously, I mean every other day was very, very chilled. Let the kids wake up whenever they want, and the pool, and the jacuzzi, and you know, relaxation. That day was like, if we're going to do Disney World, we're doing it right, and we're going to be on every ride. And I'm even Yavin. We had different systems I could talk about later, not for the recording, but we to make that happen, we make it work. And Lamaisa, we're going to do Disney World right, so we're going to get there. Mamish 9 o'clock in the morning. That's when it opens. Be there. And be able to get, like, and we did it, and we were there. My kids woke up with the kids early and got there, and you got it. It's all avoida to get there because you park and then the monorail, and you get. And we went on every single ride in the park. Don't worry, we didn't stand on one line, but that's another story. Lamaisa, every single ride in the park. Some rides twice, and it was great. It was a very beautiful day, beautiful Mincha Ma'ariv beyond the castle with Ali Yidden. But it's a long and exhausting day. It's a long and exhausting day. And the end of the day, 8 p.m., we're in the park, but we park first, 8:30 by the time we get in, it's not, you know, till the monorail. We left the apartment about 8 o'clock, 8 maybe 8:15, the house. And it's 8 o'clock at night, they have this grand finale of the day fireworks show. You guys have been, I'm sure you guys have been, right? It's awesome, amazing. Over the castle, and they have all the Disney films, laser images on the castle, and the music playing in the background, and like, it's mom, it's just like crazy emotional moment. And even if your day was only okay, you leave there like, this was the greatest day in the world, you know? They know how to do it right. And it's awesome. And you're like there with your family, and it's like that family moment, and everybody's crying, and it's, you know, okay. Okay, maybe not everybody was crying, but you get what I'm saying. La Mesa. I'm an emotional guy. I start like tearing up at these things, you know. Most people don't. But La Mesa. So, okay, then it goes on. It's like 15 minutes long, probably. And the minute's over is like the biggest rush in the world to get out of that place. You have the best day ever. But what you got to be out of there like as soon as you can. Because first of all, as Jews, we're starving. Because like, yeah, you eat, but like you snack and you eat like your tuna fish sandwiches and you like cookies and crackers. And because even though they have kosher food these days, but it's like the double wrap plain food. Shit. Like that's only good on an LOL flight. You don't eat that any other time. You know, it's like just... And It wasn't such a warm day, so you didn't even do ice cream. Whatever it was, you're starving, you're exhausted. It's like time to just get into the jacuzzi. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it. That's the thing. So, but you have to take that monorail back to the parking lot. Or there's a ferry, but the ferry takes like 20 minutes. The monorail is like 5 minutes. So everyone's going to the monorail. So we go to the monorail. And we're rushing, but... I remember this was the first time we were in Disney World without a stroller. Usually we're also with a stroller. That's a whole avoda. It's like be able to get around people when you're trying to move fast. It was like now no stroller, but now there's the fear of like losing your youngest. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're in a rush of literally like thousands of people and you're trying to stay together. So we get there. We get on the monorail and we got, I think, on the second monorail leaving the park after the show. We're on there and you can finally like breathe out and you're, okay, great. We'll be home in like 20 minutes and we're looking forward by the time we get to our car, this, that. And the monorail is like a 5 minute thing. Like 2.5 minutes into the monorail, it stops. It's never a good thing, you know? And they have that announcement like, okay, there's some, you know, we're just waiting for the monorail up above. It'll be 2 minutes, fine. But then we're there 2 minutes and 3 minutes and 4 minutes and 5 minutes, 6 minutes. And eventually they come on and say, basically, the monorail stopped working. We had problems. We're taking you back to the Magic Kingdom. That's like the last thing you want to hear. And they take us all back to the Magic Kingdom. And now it's already like 8:30 at night. And you're like, just, again, exhausted, starving. And they tell you the only way to get to your car now is on the ferry. Now, the ferry takes much longer. But more so than that, now, everybody that was on all these monorails are getting off the monorail. Thousands of other people are still coming out. There's 100,000 people leaving Disney World at the same time, all trying to get on this ferry. It's a sea of people like you've never seen. You know, all day when you go on the ride, you got to put on your mask. And now it's 100,000 people like on top of each other to get on this ferry. And the ferry itself takes forever. And I'm thinking it's going to take 10 ferries till we get on one. And we're going to be here. And I should have brought my tefillin. You know, like it's like literally. So as I'm getting off the monorail, my family's coming. And I see like this sea of people. Like more people than I've ever seen. Like, you know. I say, I'm not going there no matter what. We'll swim the ocean. We'll do. So I decide. Here's what I decide. There were buses, but the buses wouldn't take you to the parking. The buses only go to the Disney resorts. If you're staying at one of the, you know, like the one the monorail goes through and like does one, the ones that like, I don't know, us Jews don't stay at much because, you know, it doesn't pay when you're eating kosher food and you want a house and you want a pool and whatever, but like, La Mesa, the resorts, right? So the buses go to the resorts. So I say, you know what, we'll just go on one of the... And there's no one going to the resorts. Everyone's going on this ferry. I tell my wife, we're going to the buses. She's like, but we're not in the resorts. I'm like, we just got to get out of here and we'll figure it out. But where are we going to go? I'm like, don't worry so much. We're going to go. So we go there and there's a guy like directing people to the different buses, which resort you're on, because there's like 30 resorts also. So I go over to the guy. I'm like, which one's the closest resort to the parking? And he says, none of them. I'm like, no, you don't understand my question. I didn't ask which one is like... by the parking? Which one? There has to be one. There's an answer, one of them that's closest. Like, even if it's 20 minutes away, one of them's closest. Which one is closest to the parking? And I explained to him like that a little bit again. And he looks at me and says, none of them. I'm like, great. So basically, this guy is either a ksil, but or mamish just doesn't. But more so, he just didn't want to answer my question because he knew what I was up to. And he wanted me to go on the ferry because you're not really supposed to use these buses, I guess. If you're not on the resorts, but they're public buses for Disney people. So I just take my family. I'm like, okay, sir, thank you so much. I'm like, let's go. So we get on the first bus, was going to the Fort Wilderness Resort. And I always remember, I've gone to Disney World like a ton of, from my youth till, and I know that's one of the resorts you definitely, they point out to you on the monorail. So it's got to be somewhere in the vicinity. I'm like, we're going on that bus. So we get on that bus and we sit down on that bus. We're all sitting. We're just happy to be sitting. And my wife's like, what are we going to do? I'm like, maybe there's Uber in Disney World. I don't know. Now, I don't even think any of our phones had Uber so we had to like download Uber, but we're like, we'll figure it out. But I don't even know if it's in the Disney complex, if there's Uber there or not Uber there, but if not, I'm like, I don't know, we'll figure it out. As we're saying that we didn't move yet, and we see this frum woman with a couple kids get on the bus. It was strange, because like nobody else was Jewish on this bus, and she's wearing a mask because you're supposed to on the bus, and couldn't tell you. And then we see it's a woman, someone we're very, very close to. A very close friend. Name's Amanda Waltuck. And we see. And my wife's like, Amanda, what are you doing on the bus? And she's like, it was a crazy also, like all these people. And I saw you guys, and I figured you know what you're doing and where you're going, so I followed you. This is what she says. And we look and we're like, great. We have no idea what we're doing. We're just getting away from the 100,000 people. But here's the deal. Her husband alone already left like a while ago to go get their car and to set them up for success. So they're all ready. And the minute they get out of the park after the fireworks, he's ready to go with them. So she calls her husband and tells we're on a bus going to Fort Wilderness Resort. Fort Wilderness Resort is a 5-minute drive from Magic Kingdom. He's there when we get there. I jump in the car. I mean, their car is full, so the rest of my family stays by the Fort Wilderness Resort. I jump in the car with his family. He drives me to the parking lot, which was 4-minute, 5-minute drive away. Okay, I have to jump a few fences and figure out how to get into the parking lot. That's another discussion, another time. I get to my car, and I'm at the Fort Wilderness Resort 5 minutes. Okay, that also was an avoda because they turned all the streets to like one way to get out. I had to go up one way. Whatever, that's a whole avoda. But Baruch Hashem was fine. I made my way to Fort Wilderness Resort about 5 minutes later. 15 minutes later, we're home and we're good to go. And then the car says, you see, I told you that was the right move. I think we might still be Disney World. Sheer tonight might have been from Disney World if we didn't do this. Okay, I'm just telling you. Lamaisa, what is Avoida? The Avoida is just to know. So what happened there? So someone who has closed eyes, but someone who's not God conscious and doesn't recognize, as we read in our Mishnah, and doesn't recognize, as Rabbi Lazar told us, doesn't recognize these words of Rabbi Lazar Ish Bar Sosa, Tain li mishalosh, atav shachashalot, everything from Hashem. Okay, nice coincidence. Coincidence? There are 100,000 people, it's dark at night. You could hardly see. And the one person that happens to see us and follows us on this bus because thinks we know where we're going is someone we're close to and has a car waiting for them that I could then go on and get my car and be by my family in 5 minutes where I had no other plan and had no clue what I was going to do after that. What is that? The Eibishter orchestrating it all. Everything that we have, everything that happens, everything's from the Ribono Shel Olam. There's no question. And we have to understand that. So what's our avoda then? Just to give to the Ribono Shel Olam, because it's not even giving. That's the only time we'll take. That's the only time we could take anything. And that's the avoda of our lives. You know, there's another chazal. The only source that's found in Rashi, but seemingly Rashi had a source in a medrash that we don't have and we don't know. On these same words, these same words in Mishlei, Kaved es Hashem mahonecha, respect Hashem with your valuables, with your items, with your materialistic things, which all come from Hashem. So how are we showing Him respect? If they're all from him, Rashi there says, "Al tikri ma'onecha elami groncha," from your throat, from your mouth. And seemingly, what he's telling you is, you know what you have. You have your voice. You see, to give Hashem things, that's all His. But your voice of Torah, your voice of tefillah is the way that we could respect Hashem and give to Hashem. But the truth is, even that's not even yours. Because that's what we see over here. The Pasuk tells us in Shemos, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, who gave you a mouth? Is it not me? Even that's from Hashem. Even our mouth is from Hashem. So when we learn, when we daven, we're not giving to Hashem even. We're utilizing what Hashem has given us to finally take. But that's what our avodah is. Our avodah is to recognize everything we have for Hashem. Or our koichas for Hashem. So our avodah is to finally take something, and the only way we can take something is by presenting it to the Ribbono Shel Olam and doing for Hashem. And maybe if we start doing this and living our lives like this, Hashem will see that we get it, and we see that He's with us, and then He'll want to be with us even more. If we recognize and see that everything we have is from Hashem, and we know that He's in our lives, and then we utilize it all just to present it to Hashem, through our Torah, through our tefillah, through our mitzvahs, so that we can be zoichem b'yikhu li, from His stuff we could take. Then He's going to want to be here. Then we'll be zoichem hein ga'alti eschem achris kreishis. You know what the Bas Ayin says in those words? Hein ga'alti eschem achris kreishis. You know when the gula could come? So there's a famous chazal that the most conducive time for the Gula is when? What month is the most conducive time for Gula? Nisan. In Nisan we had the Gula. Nisan Atidin Ligal, Chazal says. Nisan's the last month. I'm sorry, Nisan's the first month of the year. Nisan's the beginning of the year. Again, it's two ways to look at the months. You could start from Tishrei and start from Nisan. Nisan's the beginning of the year. If Nisan's the beginning of the year, what's the last month of the year according to that Cheshbon?
Adar.
So Nisan is very conducive to bring Gula. But you know what other month is then? Conducive to bring Gula. Hein ga'alti eschem achris kereshis. Achris is the last month, just like the first month. You know when the Gula could come? It could come maybe in the last month or maybe in the first month. So Mirz Hashem, we should be zoiche as we enter into the last months of the year, Adar. Hein ga'alti eschem achris kereshis. We'll be zoiche the Gula and we'll be zoiche the Shechina be with us. Maybe the way to be zoiche that is if we start to see and know that everything we have is from Hashem. And then start to actually take something by presenting Hashem with all that He's lent to us. And Hashem will just want to be with us always. And b'zoichet hein ga'alti eschem achris kereishis with gula shleima with Mashiach l'keinu b'mehera b'yameinu.